It's very important. And I've been talking about this. And I've been talking about this for years. No matter who's preaching or teaching, myself included, whatever they're teaching, check it out in the Word. I need you to bring that first scripture up. Check it out in the Word. We're going to look into Acts 17. It says that that night the believers sent Paul and Silas off to the city of Berea. Say Berea.
Berea.
Where they once again, say again,
again,
went into the synagogue. I mean, we need to go into the synagogue again and again and again. Be regular in church. Amen. Mm-hmm. They found, verse 11, that the Jews of Berea, say Berea, were of more noble character. Okay, the word noble, write this down, in the Greek, the word noble means willingness to learn and to be open-minded. When you approach the word, be willing to learn, say willing to learn, and open-minded. So they, and it actually, the Passion brings this out, they were of noble character, so they're willing to learn, and much more open-minded than those of Thessalonica. They were hungry to learn, say hungry to learn. See, be hungry to learn. If I'm not careful, I can do what I did last week. But if you recall, I talked about a lot of things in my spiritual journey. When I got a hold of the Word of God, I'm telling you, I was hungry. And I tell you what, I was in that Word. And it changed my life. I show up for Bible study. I show anywhere where the Word was in my church, I went after it. There's a saying about going after it. I mean, you got to go after it. This winning group tomorrow night, go after it. We're not as busy as we think we are. I'm going to take a sip of water on that. Hallelujah. I said, we're not as busy as we think we are. Just think, let's just pause for a second. What y'all doing tomorrow? What y'all doing Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday? What are y'all doing? You can take some time out. And it's about, we all are doing something. Let me say it better. Let's put a priority on the Word. And it's not just, well, I get it on Sunday, but you get something else in the winning group. You get to discuss the scripture, and you get to pray with somebody else. And you can share what you got from this word, and what you got can help somebody else. What they got can help you. Sometimes you may need agreement in prayer. Sometimes you could just sit there and say nothing. And be encouraged. Man, sometimes I'll sit in a winning group and be amazed. I just pop in. And I'll be amazed at the insight the Holy Spirit's giving people and the spiritual dynamic in the discussion and how the Spirit of God directs the discussion. And how people hear something they need to hear. It's awesome. See, we got to get out of this thing. Well, I did my spiritual duty a Sunday morning. I went to church. What'd you do? I went to church. And it's good to go to church. But we got more things. to offer. And Winning Groups is one of them, and I need your help. All I need you to do now, I want you to write this down. And as we get more, we're going to get more Winning Groups. I'm going to give you a very easy thing to do, and I'm going to give you something that'd be more of a challenge. First thing, just go to a Winning Group and sit your butt down. That's it. Nothing else. You don't have to say a word. Just go there and sit down. I wish y'all get through writing. Okay, this is next level stuff. This is pray about getting in a winning group. Pray about starting your own. Huh? Carl and I have an ongoing joke. She always asks me to do stuff, texts me, asks me, would you let the garage door down, something like that, left it up, and I text her back, I'll pray about it. Anything she asks me to do, Trace, I say, I'll pray about it. But, you know, Christians get in this thing, but I'm going to pray about it. Sometimes I just do stuff, and if I'm going in the wrong direction, the Holy Spirit will hold me up. One time in Scripture says of a believer, it might have been Paul, it seemed good to me and the Holy Spirit. I was out in some other country where I was going to teach in a Bible school, and there was a guy who was a missionary, and he was in a particular place. They said, well, where are you going to go next? I'm going to go where it seems good. Amen. I believe the Holy Spirit's going to put on somebody's heart where it seems good to start a winning group. And we're not going to just throw you out there. Hey, give us your address. We're going to send people over your house. No, we're going to make sure you're trained. Huh? And sometimes people think they have to be a Bible scholar to start a group. You don't have to be a Bible scholar to start a group. Okay, that's all I'm going to say about that. They found that the Jews of Berea were a more noble character and much more open-minded than those of Thessalonica. Watch, they were hungry to learn and eagerly received the word every day. They didn't say Sunday. Every day they opened the scrolls of Scripture to search and examine them to verify that what Paul taught them was true. Check things out in the Word. Amen. All right, talking about authority, using your authority. God supplies the power, we flip the switch. Using your authority, okay, we're getting ready to fast forward now. We're going quickly now. Just a review, okay? Authority, using your authority is not talking to God about your problem. Like prayer. Using your authority is talking to your problem about God. Mm-hmm. You're telling the sickness what God says. You're telling your body, no, I feel these symptoms. I feel this. I see this mark on my body. I see this sore. But in the name of Jesus, by his stripes, I have been healed. And remember what the name of Jesus means. Don't just be just throwing out the name of Jesus. I want when you say the name of Jesus, I want it built into your consciousness, into your system, that when you say in the name of Jesus, you know exactly what it means. When you say in the name of Jesus over whatever, it means I expect results not because of who I am or because of what I've done. But when I say in the name of Jesus, I expect results because of who he is and what he has done. Okay? You're telling the lack when you say, in the name of Jesus, lack, go. You are speaking to that lack. All right? You are using your authority. Lack, go now in Jesus' name. You are talking to that lack, that problem, about God. You're telling the lack what God says. You're telling the sickness what God says. We use the example of the police officer when he stands in the street and he holds his hand out and the badge is in back of him. He doesn't have power to stop the truck. We talked about two words for authority. One is dunamis, two words for power. One is dunamis. But what we're talking about, there's another word for power called exousia. That's when it's like the police officer, when he stands in the street, he doesn't have power to stop the truck, right? But he has authority. Because there's something in back of that badge. He's got the city of Fort Wayne or the city of Indianapolis behind them. John 14, 13 and 14, whatever you ask, the word ask, this is just review, it means demand. This is not asking like in prayer. This throws people off. It actually means to demand something due. What's due? Everything's in that Jesus provided in his finished work. All of the promises of God that are yes and so be it, amen. Hallelujah. So you're not, when you're demanding your body to be well, when you're demanding your, you're speaking to those bills and you command them to be paid in the name of Jesus, amen. You're not asking, you're demanding. And you're not making, we talked about the sovereignty of God, you're not making God do anything, God already did it in his finished work, all right? Whatever you demand in my name, he said, that I will do. We looked at Matthew 16, 19, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Matthew 18, 18 as well. Whatever you demand, I'll do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you demand anything, verse 14, if you ask or demand anything in my name, I will do it. He's going to do it. Won't he do it? If you demand in his name, he'll do it. If you don't, heaven quiet. Heaven ain't loosing nothing until you loose. Heaven ain't binding nothing till you bind. Use your authority. Don't let the devil back his U-Haul up into your driveway and take your stuff, take your health, take your finances. Acts 3, 1. Now Peter and John were going up to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour, and a man lame from birth being carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple. Pause. Okay, so this guy was around 40 years old, if I remember correctly from scripture. And he was laid daily. And this is about 3 years after Jesus left the earth and went back to heaven to be seated at the right hand of the Father. And that means that this man, and this is where he was, this beautiful gate, Jesus would have passed through there going to the temple. He went there often. And I'm bringing this up because some people think, well, if you believe in healing, then why don't you just go and empty out all the hospitals? It's like, you know, Jesus just healed everybody everywhere. He didn't do that. In fact, at the pool of Bethesda, there's five porches full of sick people. He was directed to one man. Everybody else he left there sick. That doesn't mean it wasn't the will of God for them to be healed. It means when the Spirit of God is in operation, only who the Holy Spirit directed him to minister to got healed. But he never, listen to this, he never turned anyone down who came to him for healing. If any one of those people in those five portions would have came to him in faith and asked to be healed, he would have healed them. He never turned down one person that came to him for healing. But some people, they misunderstand when the gifts of the Spirit's in operation. He just didn't go around just indiscriminately just waving his hand and healing everybody in his path. He passed through this beautiful gate and left that man. He didn't get healed until Peter and John showed up. Right? Well, if you don't know, you're going to. Watch this. Seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, he asked to receive alms or some money. And Peter directed, finish reading verse 2? He was laid there. He couldn't walk there himself, but they laid him there so he can ask for money for people going in. And then he asked money from Peter and John, and Peter directed his gaze at him, as did John, and said, "Look at us." Come on, that's something. He didn't say, look at Jesus. He said, "Look at us." But Jesus is present on the inside of them. Hallelujah. Boy, that's boldness. You can go to somebody sick and you look at me. I got something for you. And but the man, he got it twisted, and he fixed his attention on them, man. He's looking, he's expecting for some money, expecting to receive something from them. Pause. He was expecting to receive. He had an attitude of receiving, even though he was looking for something else. But that's significant. And Peter said, "I have no silver and gold, but what I do have," man, mark that in your Bible, "what I do have," say, "what I do have." Do you have something? That's what I want you to know today. Do you have something? You do. But what did he have? In the name of Jesus. They had the name of Jesus. The authority that you have is in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand and raised him up. And immediately his feet and ankles were made strong. And leaping up, he stood and began to walk and entered the temple with them, walking and leaping and praising God. Well, I guess so. This man been laid there for all those years. Now he's healed. Drop down to verse 16. And his name... Seem like I need to read that verse before that. Excuse the man behind the curtain here for a second. I'm going to jump to it here. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Acts. Is that the New Testament? Okay. Look at verse 15. Verse 14, but you denied the Holy One. They're bothering with him because, I mean, religious people are something else. And he started preaching to them, talking about, "You denied the Holy and Righteous One and asked for a murderer to be granted to you, and you killed the author of life whom God raised from the dead. To this we are his witnesses, and his name, by faith in his name." Not just the name. We all have the name, but do you have faith in the name? "And his name, by faith in his name, has made this man strong whom you see and know. And the faith that is through Jesus has given the man this," underscore this, "perfect health." Say, "I have perfect health." Perfect health in the presence of you all. See, why should this be strange? Remember, search the scriptures. But Pastor, I don't know about that. I don't know if everybody can be healed. Well, search the scripture. By Jesus' stripes, we have been healed. The same time he took our sicknesses, same time he took our sin, he took our sicknesses. Psalm 103, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Forget not all his benefits, who forgives all our iniquities, who heals all our diseases. Both of those things, your forgiveness, your healing, happened at the cross. Peter and John understood because they walked with Jesus for 3.5 years. They understood the works that I do. Jesus said, the works that I do shall you do also. And greater works than these shall you do because I go to my Father. And some religious folks, they say, well, healing went out when the last apostle died. That's not, see, search the scriptures. The Acts is not the Acts of the apostles. It's the Acts of the Holy Spirit through the believers. The Holy Spirit didn't go out. We got a boy running around here. Well, he ain't no boy no more. He's probably in his 30s. The boy that was, he was blind and was ministered to, but now he see. Go tell him healing's not for us. Well, you know, that's fake. All that stuff is fake. No, we got verified folks healed. Some of y'all sitting there right now. Perfect health in the presence of you all. See, it's faith in the name. We have the name, but we have to have faith in the name. And you got to know the promises of God. Listen to this. What? Did the clock even start? Or am I? It did? Just couple more. We're good. So, wow. When did you start? When Mark come up here? Y'all tricking me. Y'all starting that clock early. I think the praise team was up here when y'all started that clock. His divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us to his own glory and excellence, by which he has granted to us his precious and very great promises, so that through them, through them, everybody say, through them. Flip to that next verse. I want them to see that. It's easy to overlook this. Through them, what is them? The promises. Through them, or through the promises, you may become partakers of the divine nature. The promises of God are so important for you to receive, because every promise that you receive, you get a little bit more of God's nature. Ooh, that's good. The promises are important. And I'm going to close with this. I mentioned this a couple of times. I saw this in the Passion Translation. I thought this was very good. It's important. And I talked about how to receive these promises. In other words, you need revelation. It's not enough that your mama knew it, or your grandma knew it, or the pastor knows it. Well, I heard pastor preach it. No, you got to get it for yourself. You have to have personal knowledge. In order for this to work for you, you've got to receive the promises of God for yourself. And it's through prayer, reading, studying, and meditating. Say, read, pray, study, meditate. When you're reading, listen to the Holy Spirit. See, you just can't come in here on Sunday and spend no time in the scriptures the rest of the week. And people expect results. Huh? You sit there, all you do is do crossword puzzles and you're not spending time in the Word. You can do crossword puzzles. You can do stuff to have fun. Everybody does that. Have hobbies, things like that. But put priority on the Word. Yeah? I mentioned those sons of Sceva. They got their clothes whooped off of them by those demons. They saw what other people were doing. They thought they would try that. See, they didn't know nothing about the name of Jesus. They just saw somebody do it and think they can just use words. Acts 19:11, God kept releasing a flow of extraordinary miracles through the hands of Paul. Because of this, people took Paul's handkerchiefs and articles of clothing, even pieces of cloth that had touched his skin, laying them on the bodies of the sick, and diseases and demons left them and they were healed. Now there were seven itinerant Jewish exorcists, sons of Sceva, the high priest, who took it upon themselves to use the name and authority of Jesus over those who were demonized. They would say, "We cast you out in the name of Jesus that Paul preaches." One day when they said these words, the demon in the man replied, "I know about Jesus. And I recognize Paul, but who are you turkeys? Who do you think you are?" My question to you is, who do you think you are? Do you know who you are? Like, I know Jesus. And I know Paul. Now, see, that excites me right there. Okay, I get, oh, Jesus, I know he the man. But those demons say, "I know Paul." Those demons do Paul. So Paul's just like you and me. If he knows Paul, huh? He know Bethany. He know Martha. Huh? He knows Gloria. He knows Jackie. He knows Tracy. He knows Linda. He knows Jira. Come on, somebody. Those demons know you. They just don't want you to know you. Like, I got the name of Jesus. Hey, Pastor, the devil messing with me. So what? Who cares about the devil? Use your authority. Them demons, like, who do you think you are? Then the demonized man jumped on them and threw them to the ground, beating them mercilessly. He overpowered the seven exorcists until they ran out of the house naked and badly bruised. Beat the mess out of them and beat the clothes off of them. They didn't know nothing about the name. But when you raise your hand and say, "Stop. No, devil, you're not having my children. You're not having my marriage in the name of Jesus." You just stop right there in the name of Jesus. I got authority. Behold, I give you power, Luke 10:19, to walk on serpents and scorpions. I remember when I learned this early on as a Christian, changed my life. I got so excited. Behold, I give unto you power. That word power is exousia in the Greek, authority. I give you authority to walk on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. I give you that authority. And nothing shall by any means hurt you. I still remember that song. Any old school people know anything about passage? Man, I used to listen. Man, y'all don't know. Brothers Johnson was a group back in the day. George Johnson, Louis Johnson. Louis Johnson started a, he got saved, he got a hold of the Word of God and started a group. I still got that music. And they wrote a song as on Luke 10:19. Said, nothing shall by any means hurt you. And he playing that bass. It was rocking, man. I might go listen to it today. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word.